Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. From the author of the compelling memoir, Come Along and See, the story of his life during the World War II era and leading up to his being drafted to fight in the Korean War for the U.S. Army, Dan Rasmussen Jr. brings us his latest, Wholesale Blood, his candid eyewitness account continues. Dan was born in Grand Island, Nebraska, the year of the stock market crash and the start of the 10-year depression. At 21, he was drafted and sent to Korea. Using the GI Bill, he went to the Milwaukee School of Engineering and was hired to work for General Electric at their Hanford Nuclear Reservation plant in Richland, Washington, the plant that made plutonium for our atomic bombs, a career that spanned 37 years. Dan Rasmussen Jr., author of Wholesale Blood, he's our guest on today's This Week in America. Dan, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us today.
It's great to be here. Thank you.
You are such an excellent writer, right, in a conversational style. The first book I mentioned, Come Along and See, received rave reviews. The new book is Wholesale Blood. Talk about why you decided to write a second book and sort of continue your adventures through this era in your life.
Well, I had a little success with the first one, so I thought, well, why not have two of them?
That's good thinking, and you left us wanting more of your background and your sort of coming of age as you went off to fight. I mentioned briefly your life, and you grew up during the Depression. Talk about that and that foundation that that gave you, growing up during this period and seeing your family struggle, as so many families did, just to try to provide food and shelter for their families.
That's the way it was. It sure was. It was a lesson, teacher. So you're happy with what you have throughout your life after going through that.
Yeah, what a lesson in gratitude whenever you're able to have anything. And I mentioned after graduating from high school, and that was interesting. You were leading sort of, as you describe, an uneventful life at age 18. You get a call from California that changed your life for the next couple of years, didn't it? Talk about that experience.
Well, my sister went out there, and, actually three sisters went out there. But Maxine was married to a guy whose father was the main man at a bill posting company. He maintained the trucks, which they had many of. And they needed a bill poster, and that's what I was doing right out of high school back in Grand Island, Nebraska. We were putting up billboards along Highway 30 and various places, and we would work them up the front of the billboard with a paintbrush and slap them down before the wind got them.
Yeah, and you talk about...
That's what I was doing right out of high school. So then they needed a bill poster out there where my sister's father-in-law was working, and they threw my name into the hat, so I was California bound.
And life changed for the next couple of years. You talk about going from 35 cents an hour to a union job paying you $1.25 an hour, and you're in California, and things are pretty exciting. And then comes the draft and going to the Korean War, which really had an impact on you, who you are today, and the life that you led. Do you ever get over a situation like that, going off to war?
No, you never do. You just don't forget any of it. It was a terrible experience, and don't want to do it again.
Or see anybody else have to go through that. As I'm reading the book, and you started talking about the Korea back in 1950-53, on night patrol, and you see a trench full of skeletons, the victims of napalm. I don't see how a memory like that will ever leave your mind, and obviously it doesn't, does it?
No, that's why I can still write about it, because it never left.
Yeah, there are valuable lessons in your book. It's a classic adventure. It's a war memoir, a coming-of-age story. The title is Wholesale Blood. Subtitle, It Would Be a Shame to Kill Cecil. He's such a nice kid. And on the cover, we have a picture. Talk about, first of all, the title, Wholesale Blood. Why did you use that for the title?
Well, that's what was happening. We had blood flowing all over the place, and Cecil was a darn good kid and just had got married, and I took that picture, and that's on the 38th parallel. That's the parallel that divides North and South Korea, and it was in the middle of the winter, and it just came out good, and it just made a perfect cover for my book.
Yeah, it really did. And by the way, you'll find the book available at the usual places. This is a republished book. The book is Wholesale Blood by our guest in the program, Dan Rasmussen, Jr. It's a republished book now available for sale in ebook and paperback at its lowest retail price. Available for sale in all Amazon sites at Barnes & Noble, Page Turner Press, and Media Direct Bookstore in the orders. Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot more. You can link on and get all that information on the book and how to purchase it by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk a little bit about the book is broken down into categories. And you mentioned in there Hill 717, which was very influential to you not only during that time in Korea, but since then. Talk about what happened on Hill 717.
Well, it was an outpost that we just go out there and antagonize the enemy, kind of just daring them to come and take us off. And then we'd have a whole bunch of support to fight back and win the battle. And that's what them darn outposts were for, and that's what Hill 717 was, and it was my first one, so it was kind of a big thing. It did turn out to be a big thing, and I was lucky it wasn't there at the end of it.
And there were medals, I understand, given out for that action there as well.
Was it what?
Yeah, medals were given out for what the action that occurred on that hill.
I think that's where I got my, I don't know, I have two battle stars. I think Hill 717 was one of them.
Wholesale Blood is the name of the book we're talking about. Dan Rasmussen, Jr. is our guest on the program today. The book's available. I'll direct you to pageturner.us in the bookstore. We'll mention all the other places here and in a few minutes. Talk about coming back and then taking advantage of the GI Bill. We hear that out there all the time. And that really, when you came back, that really guided the rest of your life, didn't it? I think it was 37 years you spent working with that company.
Yes, it sure does. It was a tremendous break. I was in the service 21 months, so I got 21 months of schooling coming to me. And I had a sister up there in Kenosha, Wisconsin, which was 40 miles south of Milwaukee. And I applied up there at the Milwaukee School of Engineering for a two-year degree in radio and television is what it was. And what you get is the first year of electrical engineering, which was hard. And I could see I was not an engineer with hyperbolas and parabolas and all that stuff. So I went on into their two-year radio and television course, which I completed in 2 years. And then General Electric came to the college and was interviewing in the lunchroom, so I certainly went and was interviewed. And gosh sakes, I was certainly lucky. I could go to any place in the whole country where General Electric had a factory of any kind. That was amazing. But they had this atomic plutonium factory out here in Richland, Washington State, and they were paying the most.
Okay, good decision. Good decision.
Yep, so I came out here to Richland, Washington, where they were paying the most, working for General Electric out there at their atomic bomb facility.
And that sounds exciting, too. It's interesting working on the atomic bombs there, but you worked with the critical mass lab and some uranium fuel cells. How challenging was that? Because it sounds like that was a pretty risky place as well.
Oh, it really was. Gosh, you hear ramifications, too, of the people that have worked out there. Got into a little bit of trouble and never got over it because of radiation. I was in the checkout lane at the grocery store here last year, I believe it was, or a little earlier. And somehow they were talking about radiation and the Hanford installation out here. And this woman that was checking out in front of me, and she says, "Yeah, tell me about it. I got breast cancer out there working in hoods. I worked in hoods with my arms in big rubber gloves for years and years and years. And then about the time I retired, I found out I had breast cancer in both breasts. So tell me about Hanford and radiation, and I won't like what you say." Well, I thought that was pretty interesting.
Well, that's telling, and you were at a time out there when they probably didn't have a whole lot of safeguards and regulations in place. It was the beginning of that era as people were trying to figure out what's safe and what wasn't safe. Daniel Rasmussen, Jr., our guest in the program, the author of the book Wholesale Blood, talking a lot about the activity that he was engaged in Korea during the Korean War. And you talk at the end of the book about deep down, they've not forgiven us for not reuniting the country. As you see everything that's happening now with North and South Korea, what thoughts come to mind for you? Because this was a very important part of your history. You gave them a great period of your life to try to bring peace to that area.
Yeah, and you can blame it all on Russia and China. They won't keep their fingers out of Korea.
Yes.
That's the problem. Yep.
Yeah, as you...
North Korea's kind of ornery. They want to go ahead with making their own atomic bombs, and we don't want them to have them. So that's where we're at, and that's where we've been for some time now.
Well, you pay obviously particular attention to that. You talk about how South Korea has developed into a little world power, and part of that over there, I will say maybe pressure put on the young people, the education system over there, it's pretty much nonstop for them, isn't it?
Yes, and I'm really, really proud of them, too, for what they've done, because, like I said, they went to school 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and they educated their young people in all of the sciences and maths, and they really have developed themselves into an intelligent superpower, South Korea has. I've got a letter from the president. I think it was in those books I sent you. Did you see that?
Yes, I was going to mention that, where he basically is saying, thank you for your role in making us what we are today. You were there on the ground floor and helped make all of that possible from the president.
Yep, it's sure true. Yep. But yeah. I'm proud of them people over there. They went through it, and then they come out smelling like a rose.
Yeah, they come to you. The letter is addressed to you. Warmest gratitude, deep respect. The 60th anniversary at the time of the outbreak of the Korean War. This was the letter dated June 1st of 2010 from the president of the Republic of Korea. And I'm sure that's an honored treasure that you have. Time going by too quickly. A couple minutes left in the program. What do you hope the reader takes from reading the book? It's an excellent story, well told, once again, because of your tell-it-like-it-is style. We feel like maybe we're even getting a different perspective on the good and the bad that was happening during the war. Besides that, the fact that we will be informed and entertained as we read the story, what do you hope the reader takes away from reading Come Along and See and the new book Wholesale Blood?
Well, my favorite saying is that war is terrible. War is terrible. When you see a person burned to death from napalm, you never forget it. And when you see a person just ripped to pieces and killed from an incoming artillery round. You just never forget that. So what we did over there and what all wars do is show us they're not worth it. War is terrible. So let's not have any more wars.
Well, you certainly get that impression as you're reading the book. It's like a little behind the story, and we see what happens as you you talk about seeing the wounded and the dead and how heart-wrenching that is, and it's not something you forget when you come back when the deployment is over. Has the book helped you in writing these two books? Has that helped you along the way, do you think?
Oh, probably has, yeah. But then it probably keeps reminding me what it was, because I'm still pushing them, and I really enjoyed that, though.
Yeah, going back.
I have book signings over at our sporting goods store in Kennewick, Washington. I have book signings, and that is really an experience. I don't know whether I sent you the letter about the woman that was at Stalingrad.
No, I did not see that.
I didn't send that to you?
No, I did not see that. I'm sure that's an impressive story.
Stalingrad was where they maybe shut Hitler down.
Yes.
He never got control of Stalingrad, and he never got on over to Moscow and whipped the country of Russia because of what happened at Stalingrad. So I'm having my book signing here, over there at the sporting goods store. And I'm talking to a couple of guys. They like to come up and tell me what they did in the war and stuff. So, but here comes this older lady, and she gets my attention right away. And the first thing she says is, "Me, Russian. Me, English, no good. Me, Stalingrad." And I was shaking her hand when she said this. And I thought, my God, this woman was at Stalingrad in 1942.
Wow.
And so I took hold of her upper arm, and I looked her in the eye, and I says, "You were in Stalingrad in 1942? And she nodded her head. And I thought, that hit me right between the eyes, that I could be talking to somebody that was fighting Hitler. Because that's where Hitler was stopped, was in Stalingrad. And she was there and taking part in it. I thought that was amazing.
It's amazing the peach.
I went back to the days of Hitler through her.
Oh yes.
Because Hitler was a monster.
Yes, and it's so interesting reading the book and getting your perspective on history and the stories that that you're bringing back that are touching so many people. In that particular case, the lady from Stalingrad and the others when you're out and doing the public signings. I know that you've been working with Page Turner on getting the book Wholesale Blood out there. What has that experience been like in working with Page Turner in helping you get the message out there, this very important message?
Well, they've been great. I'm still quite new to them, and they're new to me, but we're working on it. And
well, I know how.
Yeah, I keep sending them the stuff. I sent them that letter about the woman at Stalingrad.
Yes.
So I don't know how Page Turner will quite use that, but I'm sure they will.
Well,
and I've sent them other stuff too. So Page Turner, they're working with it, and we're going to see where it goes.
I know that they're very impressed with you and your writing ability and the story that that you're sharing, and they're privileged to be a part of that. This book we're talking about, Wholesale Blood by Dan Rasmussen Jr., is a republished book now available for sale in ebook and paperback at its lowest retail price. Available for sale in all Amazon sites, Barnes & Noble, Page Turner Press and Media Direct bookstore orders. Chapters Indigo in Canada, Waterstones in the UK, Booktopia in Australia and New Zealand, and a lot more. And you can link on directly to information on Dan's book at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on the program. You've done it once again. The compelling first book, Come Along and See. This book is Wholesale Blood. excellent job. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Well, I'm glad you invited me. I had a good time.
It was a pleasure having you on the show. And again, if you go to the video version of this, go to thisweekinamerica.us and videos, and you'll find us on YouTube as well. We've got some pictures that Dan sent along of his days in Korea that add to the story that he's telling, and that's available at YouTube, and you can link on directly by going to our website. This is This Week in America online, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.